We close our eyes, we bow our heads, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the wonder you bring to our lives. L'chaim.
L'chaim. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find us on keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. And I'm pleased to announce this, above all. Today's show is brought to you by the Permanent Record Podcast. The Permanent Record is a weekly podcast from two 30-something Minnesotans. Small-town news, celebrity gossip, TV, movies, and their daily lives are all discussed. Wicked, yet sweet. Go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com for shows and more information. And right here, I'm looking at our feedback system, where you guys can write in live during the show. And Heather from Minnesota, from this podcast, is writing and saying, "Hey there, our downloads have tripled. Thanks, we love you. Sorry the ad we sent you to read is so wickedly but sweetly hokey."
I love that line.
"Thanks for this opportunity. It's making a huge difference. Keith and the Girl forever."
Well, the permanent podcast forever.
So there you go. She took advantage of ads at keithandthegirl.com, you know, write in for ad information. And there you have it. I'm glad to see it's working out. Chemda's having an Israeli meetup. I want to mention this.
Yep, I'm leaving for Israel this Sunday, and the meetup will be next Saturday, the 27th, in Tel Aviv. I will have the actual meet time and location by tomorrow, but the information will be posted on keithandthegirl.com/events on that date, Saturday, the 27th.
Is it in the main sand dune or the side sand dune?
My brother will be there with me, my brother Michael. It should be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was hanging out, by the way, with my chat buddies last night. And I got to talk to Elvis. You know, my buddy Elvis, his daughter was in the hospital. Jesse Joyce hates him. But, you know, he called in and we were yapping for a little bit. His kid gets out of the hospital today. So that's good news. And, you know, he seemed to be in good spirits. So that was fun. Then somebody else called in just sharing their life information. This guy calls. He finds out that he's a granddad. His daughter's having a baby. I don't know if she's 20, 21. She went through a phase, by the way, where she was a lesbian.
Okay.
And, well, apparently the phase is over.
He didn't know that?
The dad would like the phase back because she's pregnant, and he found out through Facebook.
Did he also find out that she's not a lesbian through Facebook?
Yeah. Well, who knows, right? Again, right. 2010. That means not. Dad, you don't know me. I can be a lesbian with a baby.
Oh, I guess so. So he doesn't even know. He just knows she's pregnant. She could be pregnant with, you know, some sperm donor or something.
Well, no, she knows the guy. Like, it was an old boyfriend. Oh. Like, you know, on Facebook, you just click around, you can figure out somebody's life.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Know, nothing's a secret, but that's how you found out. I mean, it's one thing when you found out through Twitter that your brother's getting married, but still, it's a whole other thing. Find out you're a granddad.
Yeah, I found out that my brother Andrew is engaged through Twitter, and I don't know that I was on Twitter at the time.
Right.
I think, I don't know how I got
it. You were just reading it, you mean?
It wasn't even through my brother's Twitter. It was somebody had sent me something, and it was my brother's friend that I knew. And then I checked out, you know, her site, and on her site it said, "My best friend just got engaged overseas." And I'm like, I think my brother's her best friend. And then I'm like, wait, did my brother just get engaged? Then I click around to his thing. You know how you could, like you said, you could find anything.
Right.
So I click around to find stuff on his site and his thing. And on his Twitter, it said, "She said yes." And so I was like,
were you offended?
No, I don't get offended by my brother's things because I don't think they're like maliciously, you know, I'm not going to tell my sister. He did tell me that he was, you know, going to ask her to marry him. But I thought it was like a thought, like, okay, I know this is the one. You know, I didn't know that it was being executed, you know?
Right.
And so I thought, you know, I'm sure there are things that I do with my life that push my life forward or take my life in a different direction. It took me over a year to tell him that you and I were broken up. I think that's a big deal. That's like, hey, I'm getting divorced. Thanks for telling me.
And you instead you Twittered it, I remember, right?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are things that...
There's things I do. I didn't tell him about a sandwich I had, but I Twittered it.
No, I'm sure there are things that our audience knows that...
Your brother doesn't?
That our audience knows first. For example, you were dating Kat for a while before your siblings knew about it or before your parents knew about it, you know?
Okay. I think you're giving him a lot of leeway.
The answer, regardless, is right. I don't take offense of what my brothers do.
All right. By the way, you know our guest, of course, Tom McCaffrey. He's the 37-year-old, lives with his dad. Nothing's wrong with it, right? Completely normal.
I'm sure he loves that. That's the description of him.
Well,
now. Like, never
quite
mind.
Frankly,
he's a comic that came on our show.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, everything's taken is overshadowed that you live with your dad. But anyway, speaking of a comic, I was playing his CDs over the chat last night, and he has a stand-up CD and a rap CD. You heard him rap on the show a little bit, and to be honest, I heard the backing track. And I didn't know there's lyrics on backing tracks, and I did hear the song, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know what, we won't do music today. How about that? I don't know how to break it to you. Then he kept talking about rapping, where I'm like, well, the audience has to hear what he does, and I played it, and it was
a good job.
It was a very good job. I was very happy. So I'm like, all right, let me go back. Let me listen to these CDs, and I heard some of his stand up, and this is from 2 years ago, and I'll let you guys hear some, and you can just see what I'm talking about, and you'll see where I'm going with this. This is from his CD, Lou Diamond Phillips, ? And it's so you get a fair representation, this is the title track. I think that's fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Entitled Lou Diamond Phillips. This is Tom McCaffrey.
You guys know Ray Liotta, you know that guy, right? Did you know he was, like, adopted, right? He just found out he was adopted, like, a year ago. Right? And like, and he went and found his birth parents, and like, they didn't know that Ray Liotta is their fucking kid. I was like, that's awesome. Like, imagine.
By the way, the over under on how many times he says like was at 1 million, and I took the under and lost.
Okay.
Like, you give a baby up for adoption, and then fucking 45 years later, Ray Liotta shows up to your fucking house. That'd be sweet, but it would suck if like a lame celebrity showed up. Like, you open your door and you're like, Lou Diamond Phillips. What are you? I'm your dad? Oh, great. Go clean your room. You're grounded for being so shitty.
Now, is Lou Diamond Phillips just a bad actor, or like a not as known actor?
I guess he's not as known. To me, I don't see what's so bad about Lou Diamond Phillips. I'm like, from Young Guns, he's awesome.
Well, you should check if that's your kid.
I wish. I wish he was my kid.
But it'd be really awkward if some like hot chick showed up, right? Like years later, as like an adult, and you didn't know it was your daughter. Like, be like Pamela Anderson. All right, you're my daughter. That's like, listen, before you come in, I have to take some posters down and throw away my computer and shoot myself in the face. Because you being my daughter has ruined my life.
Okay, now this is, now 2 years later, and this is his, he's done with comedy. This is his new project.
I don't know that he's done with comedy.
With stand-up, I mean.
I think he's still doing stand-up. He's just focusing on this for a while.
His rap career says he's done with stand-up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you can get this the songs off. I'm going to play you something, but you can get it off of iTunes. But you can't look under his name. You have to look under TMC, which, of course, stands for Tom McCaffrey.
Oh, really?
So it's hard to get. A lot of bad marketing, you ask me, comics do. Yeah.
Oh.
You're going to look for TMC.
Damn.
Right?
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
And if you ask me, the cover to the CD does it a disservice.
It doesn't bother me.
No?
No. No, it's simple. And the fact that that's his real dad actually is a right. one-up.
I still don't think the dad knew what was going on.
I think he agreed with you.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is track number one. And if you're not into it, just fast forward about 4 minutes. But it's called Taking Over, and I really dug it. Very, very well produced, I think. But tell me what you think.
We interrupt this live coverage of the return of Jesus Christ to bring you some very important breaking news. The greatest comedian who has ever lived, Tom McCaffrey, is quitting comedy to become a rapper. We now return you to the live coverage of the Second Coming of Christ. And also the Pope was shot.
Now, when will we see the new music career, the new hip-hop career? When will we see that take off? When can we? Because we want to be there.
Yo, TMC taking over, motherfuckers. The best ever. That's right. Check this out, I'm gonna rap. Yo, TMC is taking over. Get out of my way or I'll run you over. I'm a lethal weapon just like Danny Glover. I only been rapping for about 1 minute. Already the best no matter how you spin it. In it to win it, got people that bring it. Aborting critics and cynics like babies at the free clinic. Everyone's begging me not to quit stand up. Just cause I'm the best comic on this planet.
have your man up. Listen to this stanza, there's a new boss, and it ain't Tony Danza. I'm doper than dope, I'm roper than rope. Got more Facebook fans than the Pope. The CD's a classic, just like Putney Swope. Through its comedy, so you better cope. Don't be begging me to tell you a joke off of my CD called LDP. Wanna joke, G? Knock, knock, who's there, B? TMC, the king of comedy, and also the best MC in history. I'm like Ray, cause everybody loves me. Making a CD because the people, they look up to me. Suckers, they be saying they can take out Tom McCaffrey. TMC is really great. Six-pack abs and a perfect face. On the mic, he'll never stumble.
He's also the best at being humble.
Yo, it's really hard being rich and famous. I don't even know how to explain this. I can't go in public by multi-grain chips without chicks begging for my penis. To be stuck way in they anus. I'm more popular than honey roasted penis. God made me in his image, G. That means that God is real good looking, which is why I get so much nookie. I'm fucking hoes that are hotter than Snookie. I'm so good at rap, it's a sin. I'm the greatest rapper that has ever been. I got a list, here's the order of my list and it's in. It goes TMC, then TMC again, then TMC eight more times, then Nas and then TMC, bringing up the end. I'm richer than the whole cast of Friends. I'm doing so well, I even got a stipend and 400 Mercedes Benz. All the ladies, yo, they wanna date me. They take me home and masturbate me. I'm so hot, it'll make you hate me. And you'll cry all night just because you ain't me. Don't blame me, blame the Lord, G. He's the one that did create me. It's his fault, cause he did make me. There's a new king of rap, his name is Tom McCaffrey. And count on my money, cause I'm the best and I'm so famous. I am clearly the best in the world and things are going so great. Another thing about how great I am.
Thomas.
What?
Turn that shit down.
Dad, I'm rapping.
Are you fucking the vacuum again?
What are you? No, I'm not fucking the vacuum cleaner.
How old are you, Tom?
How old are you?
I'm old enough to know that I'm not a rapper. Tom, I'm at my wit's end. Enough with this rapping. Get a job.
I have a job. I'm a rapper. I already told you.
And yeah, what does that pay exactly?
I mean, it's not paying that great like right now, but I'm going to be a millionaire soon.
Uncle Carl said he would get you a job at the CVS.
I don't want to work at CVS, you asshole. Why don't you go work at CVS?
Go ahead and fuck the vacuum cleaner, because then at least I know you're doing something.
I will fuck the vacuum cleaner, Dad. I'm going to do it right in front of your family. Again.
There you go. I dug it. Some people writing in, they like it. They're like, it's a death of rap. Sucks balls. I liked it. I thought it was really good. I was pleasantly surprised when I heard the CD. What do you think?
I think it's fun. It's the reason why I booked him. I saw him at Pat Dixon's show at Cornelia Cafe, right. And I thought it was really fun. I thought it was, I don't know. I laughed when he was performing. I thought he'd be fun.
He bends words more than Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Danny Glover. I do like his list of best rappers. TMC, then TMC again. Bringing up the rear, TMC.
Nas is in there.
Nas. By the way, 37, living with his parents, and this person, Flux Squanta, complained. What's the big deal?
Mm.
And I said, all right, what's your fucking story? And he goes, I'm 23 and I live with my sister. And I'm like, I can tell by your attitude, you'll not be out of her business for the next 2 years. And by like the time you're 25, you will not move out. I guarantee it.
And you asked for an apology if he didn't.
I want an apology, right. So he set his phone. Here's the picture. He has his phone set for his 25th birthday. No repeat, by the way. He only needs one warning. Oh, and this is funny. His alarm is set to go off 1 week before. So he has a week. Ah! This fucking guy, he's not even going, you watch, Keith, I'll get my life together in a year and I'll get out. No, he's like, all right, I have 2 years. And just in case, I'll give myself a week's warning. And it says, move out of sister's house by this date. In parentheses, 25th birthday, in case he's like, this date is familiar. Oh, that's your birthday, me. Or apologize to Keith Malley. Hey, if it helps you, man, what can I say? Good.
It sounds like he's already getting more responsible, writing things on a calendar. you know the...
This is your birthday, me. Don't forget.
The years that you're like, this year I'm going to be so fucking organized. It's not even going to be funny. You get yourself a calendar. You write, you know, your first thing, like, first day of year. Get new pens for new things. And so that's him. He's like, okay. Time to move out. First thing I got to do is write that I'm moving out. Okay, now that it's on my calendar, let's eat some of my sister's cereal.
And like, when are you going to get a job? It's in my phone! I'm getting my life together. I have 2 years!
You know what would be bad is if you showed a sister, like, I know you were concerned about, you know, me staying here, and it's indefinite so far, but, you know, look, I wrote on my calendar, I'm for sure going to be out of here.
Right. 2 years. Tell your sister your 2 year plan. Yeah. I'm sure she'll be pleased as punch.
Well, she likes the company, Keith. You don't know.
By the way, the end of the rap song we just heard where the, you know, dad's pounding on the door. I don't think you make that stuff up. You know what I mean? I'm not even fucking the vacuum cleaner again. Although I did find it funny when Tom McCaffrey's like, I'll fuck it again in front of the family. In front of your family. That's him. You know? Dina Lohan, speaking of music, is upset at Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow's a singer. I didn't realize that. I guess she was in that movie Duet some time ago, right?
I just remember the song. Baby, let's cruise away from here. She did that song for that karaoke movie. It was on the radio, like redone by her for a while.
That's what you're gonna hear at a karaoke place? That sounds like a fun party song. Well, now she's a country singer, by the way. And I'll play a little clip. But anyway, Dina Lohan's upset at Gwyneth Paltrow for, in Glee, she's trying to teach kids Spanish. And she says, well, Lindsay Lohan's totally crazy, right? And so she's trying to get people to, students to know what the number 5 is. Now, I don't know if you have to do this for every number, but Gwyneth Paltrow says, how many times has Lindsay Lohan been to rehab? And that's when they know, that's when they get it right. It's 5 times. So Dina Lohan is saying, our lawyers are sending a letter to Glee on the ground that the show allegedly defamed the actress.
Here's the thing about all that. I feel like the Lohan family is constantly looking for suing someone, right?
Or for attention, you know?
Now, I doubt that Lindsay has never spoken shitty about anybody on a TV show. For example, I know that she was on Saturday Night Live.
Lindsay Lohan, right?
Yeah, she hosted it a while ago. I know that she didn't not make fun of celebrities on that show. That whole show was making fun of people. You know, I want to sue her for some skit that she did about your average human being, you know? Like, oh, I go to work. Hey, that's me. I go to work. That's not nice.
This is Gwyneth Paltrow, a little bit on Glee.
Is that what country music is now?
No, this isn't country, but she was on Glee, I guess, you know. That's more poppy. But I'll play something from her country move. But she's promoting the album, but wasn't singing country necessarily, obviously.
Okay, because that sounds like a little kid song, you know. It sounds very teenage. Forget you. Like, what is that?
I think it's...
How old is she, 40? That's not what a 40-year-old sings.
I think it's CeeLo, a CeeLo song, and I think it's Fuck You.
Oh, really?
And she's saying, forget you.
Oh, okay.
That's what I believe.
Yeah,
I,
Glee just redoes every song, right? There's no original songs on there.
Right. Okay. And I don't get this Glee.
I don't either. I'm so amazed. It's like, maybe we weren't aware of how many gays were in this world.
Maybe.
It's doing so well.
It really, man, if you live in a town and you're trying to find out where the gays are, put that TV show in the middle of Main Street. Just see who, they can't help it, like moths to a flame. Well, here's her country move, which, by the way, Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow used to do like a lot of shitting on America. Other countries have it right. Our government's shit. Our people are shit. They're not well educated. They don't know about art. She was always very highbrow. I wonder if she has to change her tune now that she's playing country music. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's a whole culture. And you gotta kowtow.
I agree with you on the kowtowing, but I doubt that she's going to have to change it because I don't think a lot of people know about the dismissing of the U.S.
Right.
Like, I don't. You just told me. Okay. And you've told me before. It's not really what I think of when I first think of Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
I think of asexuality when I think of her.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. Gorgeous. But nothing comes out of her that's sexual.
You're right.
You know? I saw her, I saw her in an interview, both in English and Spanish. And she's just very monotoned. And I feel like I heard... just as much in the Spanish, I understood just as much in the Spanish interview as the English one, because I'm just like, you're so pretty, but nothing's happening, is there? And that's all I'm thinking while I'm watching her.
Do you remember the end of Seven?
In I don't her- think I saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't see all it.
All right, don't listen. Her head gets chopped off.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not going to watch
it. And it's FedEx to her husband or boyfriend, Brad Pitt, at the end.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, you know, and his detective buddy sees, like, oh, okay, you don't want to look in the fucking box.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Pitt's like, oh, what's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? And it's his girl's head. And I saw it, and I'm like, eh, I don't miss her. What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box. Here's Country Strong. This is Gwyneth Paltrow's new project.
It sounds like your average country song, no?
Sounds like anything else to me.
Yeah, she's singing it fine. She's singing it just like a country song, you know?
But you know what? For
country, for some reason, I know that she can sing, you know, more clearly. For some reason, country is nasally to let you know that it's country.
I find her her snooty, for lack of a better word.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
You, it's very much, when you market yourself in the country genre... don't you have to, you know, you have to be more relatable. You have to be more down the earth. You have to talk about how you grew up eating mayonnaise sandwiches. This girl never ate a mayonnaise sandwich in her life.
Again, I don't think it matters. I think once you gain a certain amount of popularity and a certain, you know, position in fame, you know, what, a million people aren't going to buy this? 10,000 people, I don't know, whatever amount.
But
what does she care?
But does it mean she can go around touring and not be booed at these festivals?
Oh, I'm not saying people will come out to see her sing.
So who knows? My singing career, by the way, it's mentioned in the Great American Novel.
Your autobiography.
I don't want to give anything away, but a head gets chopped off. I've said too much. The autobiography, The Great American Novel, now available for pre-sale at keithandthegirl.com/store. It'll be the end pretty soon of the promo codes for the book, which cleverly is book. And the promo code to save 10% off all merchandise is new store, one word.
New store.
So be sure you check those out. This is from Saud Gaz saying, Keith, I just ordered your book, but I don't want your signature. All pre-orders will be signed by me. I don't want your signature. I would like your dad's. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Not at all.
I don't see why not.
Sure. You know, just write us an email. We'll do whatever you want.
Whatever you need.
Yep.
I'll write dad on it. I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were talking about that Teen Mom. And
by the way, just before you go on, all the books and everything else in the store is what keeps the show going. It's what maintains our lives in the show. So if you go to keithandthegirl.com/store, it's helping us out and having Keith and the Girl go further.
You are dead right.
Thank you.
Teen Mom, you know Amber? She's the one that's, I guess, beats up on her boyfriend or husband, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
She's in trouble for, she never stops beating him up, I guess. Do they live together? Do they live at their parents' house?
They, throughout the season, I didn't watch it 100%, but throughout the season, I saw that sometimes they're engaged, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they live together, sometimes they don't. A lot of times when she beats him, he leaves and then doesn't live there for a little while, and then he does come back.
She's 20 years old, didn't you know that?
I guess she has to be pretty young because it starts at 16 and pregnant.
Is it the same people? You go from 16 pregnant to Teen Mom?
That's, you know, that's what I understand. Like, I know for sure a couple of those girls started at 16 and pregnant.
Now, what, you're allowed to still be on Teen Mom if you're in your 20s?
Well, maybe now she's 20, but at the time that they were filming, she was 19. No, you know what? She was, because she was trying to get her GED. All these girls had to pretty much drop out of high school and get their GED. So yeah, they're really young.
She's 20. She was officially charged today with 2 felony counts and 1 misdemeanor for domestic violence and battery. Under Indiana law, an incident of domestic abuse is considered a felony if a child is present for the abuse.
Wow.
Now, why it's not a felony anyway, I don't understand, but I do like this. I do like that's a big deal. You do it in front of the kids.
Well, isn't a felony huge? And she's hitting him, and that's horrible.
Right.
But she didn't, you know, damage him. Does that matter? I don't know. I guess I see, you know, it's fucked up, but I see him as she, you know, she's a little girl, right. And she didn't really, but her punches were severe into the head. I just know he was fine.
Baby Leah was there in both cases. One of the felonies is based on footage never aired by MTV. So whenever you see these shows, sometimes there's worse. I didn't hit Gary in front of Leah, she says, so there is no felony charge.
Oh, she's retarded.
None of this is true. There's nothing against me. They can't charge me if they don't have proof.
But she watched it. Right. There are a couple of episodes. You know how they do, like, the regular show. Then they do the regular show with the people in the show watching it and commenting it. Then Dr. Drew was on the show with her, and he said, look at this footage. And she commented, oh, I didn't know I hit him more than once. And Leah was in the room for those.
You need proof. It wasn't me.
She's a little kooky. Like, she's such white trash. And it's like this very bizarre, please take that kid away from her feeling.
She's also in trouble, by the way, for there's pictures of her taking pills and popping pills, you know, to be clear, and drinking vodka. And again, she's 20, so she's drinking underage as well. Teen Mom. Let's see. Pictures obtained by Life and Style show what appeared to be the MTV personality drinking from a bottle of vodka at a party in her hometown. And then drinking from a bottle. You know?
Mm.
According to eyewitnesses, it didn't stop with alcohol. She pulled out a bottle of pills. She said she needs to watch how much she drinks because she's on something. She recently lost custody of her daughter, Leah, so I guess that's the good news. But many believe she's not doing much about it. Frankly, it doesn't look like Amber's in any hurry to get Leah back.
You know what? Good. She really is horrible.
She's seeing multiple men, if you're curious, including Clint Yunker, a professional mixed martial arts fighter. So he could take the punches. He's not worried.
She better watch it. His reflex will beat the shit out of her. You know, you don't come up to a cage fighter like, oh, you know, you tap them wrong behind them, they start hitting.
You know how we have soldiers, they go overseas, they come back, they have fucked up dreams, you know, relationships fail because of it. You wake up, you don't know where you are for a second. You know, you think you're back in Iraq. What do you think martial arts fighters dream about?
Hmm.
For a living, you're trying to live. You don't wake up like, you know? I'll have dreams where, hey, the show just started. I have nothing to say. I'm like, oh, yeah. And Kendra's looking back at me.
I've had that dream.
Yeah. So what do you think of a mixed martial arts fighter where you're trying to kill? What do you think they're dreaming about?
Oh, my
good
God.
Luck laying next to one of these.
I'm sorry. I just went into that dream. I can't believe you had that dream. Do you have it often?
No, I don't have it often.
I have producer dreams also.
Like
every single year before your April 15th show,
right.
I have at least one dream where we get to the space and either like no one shows up or the space is like, no, we're locked. Like I don't have you in my books or something fucks up where like the show is all bad and it's because I didn't pay attention to an email or something. It's all fucked up. But lately I had a dream that we were doing a marathon show. And we're really literally just staring at each other like, say something. Like,
anything.
And I'm like, and I'm killing myself in my brain. Like, there's, you know, even when you have nothing to say, there's something to say.
Right.
What did you eat this morning? And I'm just thinking like, you know, and I can't say, Keith, don't you have anything to say into the mic? So I'm actually just sitting there freaking out in a pause.
Right.
What are your dreams?
No, that's it. I've had that one. Not often at all. Well, Brother Loves Writing, and he's saying he has waiter dreams still.
Oh, that's
now,
bad.
Now, he's been a waiter more recently than I have, so the good news is I think they're going to go away.
But you know, he's been out for 2 or 3 years. That's a long time.
He corrects me. He goes, not dreams, nightmares. I don't have waiter dreams anymore. I used to have, I was in school, I was in high school, you know, dreams. Which is, you know, bizarre because I'm 36, I'm in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't turn 18 in your dreams, you're same age and you're just sitting there Like, I don't think I'm supposed to be in school anymore. I think I have my own business. But I'm going to finish this math test just in case. But then I'm out of here.
Wait, don't you hope that next time you have that dream, you just kind of throw the teacher down and go, school's out for everyone. Yeah, and yeah. You're like the coolest kid in the school.
Well, I try to go back to bed. And I'm like, all right, now let me just set everything on fire, punch everybody in the face. And then I'm just thinking about it. And I'm like, I don't think I'm dreaming. I think I'm just thinking. I don't think this counts. I don't think I got back at anybody.
I don't think so either. Hoyticus is asking, what are waiter dreams?
You would you know, you can't get to your tables fast enough. All the orders are fucked up. Everybody's yelling at you. The manager's about to fire you. Rent's due. You know, it's whatever your regular job is. The toner's not working and the phone's ringing and the boss is yelling at you. Same thing.
You didn't make your sales this month.
Right. Yeah, you just realized you never put anybody's order in.
You put a 2 in the middle of the ones and zeros, but you can't find where it is.
Instead of tipping, they're going into your pocket and taking your money. You never got that. You can't find the butter. All you need is butter and everything will be okay. Dear Keith Nkanda, says Marie, my old roommate is one of those hipster douches you were talking about on the show the other day. These people that go into dumpsters and eat from it. People that are fine money-wise, you know, they don't have to. Which, we were talking about this yesterday with Jesse Joyce, and it is shocking. Like, a real bum is probably going through a dumpster, and here comes these hipster douches thinking they're making a difference in the world. Like, are you going to take all that, bum?
Because we're having a fun day.
Yeah, we're all getting together, and oh my God.
You can join us.
Well, this person's writing. This is shocking. 21 years old, and Marie, and she says, our house is located near a grocery store, and she would go to dumpster dive for all the old food they threw out. This is the same dumpster she would see me take our garbage out to on a regular basis. She tried to convince me that I'm the douche for wanting to pay for fresh food. She smelled patchouli and cat piss, I guess smelled like, wore scarves in the middle of summer. That is a douchey sign. No offense, brother love. It's, yours is okay. Yours is rock and roll.
He's not wearing like a scarf though.
He's like the microphone for Aerosmith. You know what yes. I mean? To me, that's okay. That's different. Keith is, let's see. Scarves in the middle of summer and spent her free time masturbating over National Geographic magazines and indie music. Keith is right. It's so fucking pretentious. I'm not going to apologize for showering on a regular basis and eating food that hasn't been scraped from the bottom of the dumpster.
You know what? The good news is these people get over it. You know, you have your idealistic phase.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's based on nonsense. And it's you're just following some other nonsensical idiot. And then you kind of get over it because you miss real sandwiches.
We're talking about...
I was vegetarian for a while. Now, granted,
right.
The thing that got me off vegetarianism is pregnancy. Man, you crave meat, or at least I did. I was like, motherfucker. And then I didn't look back. But, you know, it made me a little more vegetarian-like in my life, but I'll never be a vegetarian again. But, you know, you have all these, you know, you hang out with one too many Rastafarians and right. Suddenly you don't want to comb your hair ever again.
We were talking about movie theaters, and I don't know how it came up where I'm like, you know, you got to keep an eye. What do you think they're punk kids. You know, who knows what's in the popcorn? People are complaining about the butter.
Oh, because the manager is supposed to be this, you know, manager guy, but it's really right. Just some kid who got promoted because somebody else got fired or whatever.
Well, this letter, I don't know.
I kind of don't want you to read the letter.
It's something. This is from Josh. And among other things, he says, I was working behind a concession stand, and so he's a worker, and my buddy was trying to get popcorn for this fat whale. She kept barking, for more butter. I want more butter, you idiot. This is when I offered to take her bag into the back for the special butter. I went into the back.
Here's the thing. This makes me feel better because I'm like, how did he do that without her seeing it? Right. He went to the back. Now, if I was her, I would not take that bag. After calling someone an idiot
yeah.
That's dealing with your food.
I'm amazed. I've said this before. Being a waiter and the attitude you get. I mean, I seriously would sooner curse out my heart surgeon. This is a... which you're going to need after you're done yelling at me. Trust me. Amazing the things people say to food givers. I went into the back, took popcorn out of the trash can, which we're learning isn't so bad. It sounds gross, but apparently dumpster diving, it's not so sick.
Uh-huh.
I went into the back, took popcorn out of the trash can, layered the popcorn with Windex.
Oh my God. Why is
six
he
layers.
Scared?
Windex. All of a sudden, comes okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, because cum could have AIDS in it.
Well, don't give me any. I'm not doing a study. I'm just making a point.
That's going to be our poll. Windex or cum?
What would you rather have? Neither. That's not the question. The top layer, I blew as much snot onto the top of the popcorn as I could.
Ew.
And brought it back out to the lady with a smile. She started eating it in front of us, stating, "It's about time." After the fat whale, I started handing out free concessions. He just started giving things away. The managers came over and yelled at me, asking why I was doing that. I said, "I don't know." So you're not fired. Wouldn't you think you're fired? No. So he goes, "All right, we're going to move you over here where you tell people where they go to see their movie. We're going to give you something simpler. You're going to be the ticket taker."
So you get less work to do because you're an asshole.
Right. Same pay. I did not want to be there, so I would take tickets and literally say, "Thank you, sir or ma'am. Your movie will be over there to the left or right. Enjoy your show. Bark," he says. So I don't know if he's saying bark or barking. I made sure to bark like a maniac to everyone, especially little children.
He's actually barking.
After the 10th or so person, I answered like this too. The manager came over and said, "Why are you barking at people?" And my reply was, "What? I don't even know what you're talking about."
Oh my God.
So eventually they moved me to the front office, of which I got taken out of because I gave out free tickets. But finally got my favorite position, usher. We never actually picked up shit, just pushed it underneath the seats. I took all drinks and purposely saved them. Once they started smelling like vinegar, I would pour them on the hot dogs.
What?
I don't know what he's doing.
How does he still have a job?
Movie theater seats all over the ground. He's jumping into the walls of the theater, ruining them. "Love and kisses," he says. Josh. P.S. Yeah. Enough of Jesse Joyce. He's a nice enough guy, but he really is not that funny. Well, maybe if Jesse Joyce started pissing on my studio equipment, you would have liked him better. My Lord.
Are there people shortages in your town that you still get to have a job?
You're giving away free food. I can't do that. No, you got to go by the money that's next to the food that we told you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I am not following this. I'm gonna piss on the hot dogs. Yeah, you can't piss on the hot. Okay, you go to the tickets. There's no way you can do damage giving tickets. Okay, I didn't expect you to bark like a dog at people. Okay, I'm gonna move you over here now. Because surely you're good at something. If you're barking, you're not good at anything.
Yeah. But all of those are causes for firing. You're giving away free shit. You're fired.
Right. Now I'm going to... Okay, usher. Surely you can be an usher. Why are you saving all the sodas? All right. You're manager now. Go into my office and stay there. Nothing can go wrong. Did I hear you're playing with the phone? This is terrible. Bristol Palin is on Dancing with the Stars, and she's still on, and people are shocked by this. Now, I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but I do. I know the beat of the street, and I know what people are talking about, and people are shocked. And there's a theory that the Tea Partiers, the new group of Republicans that, you know, is overboard, just simply overboard, they're backing and voting for Bristol Palin, skewering the votes, like scamming the votes, and getting in a lot of votes because it's Sarah Palin's daughter.
But how are they skewing the votes? How are they?
They're setting up fake email accounts. And they're...
I can't believe they're taking the time.
It's important the daughter win. That's an important thing for our country.
You can't stop it then. You know, it's based on voting.
The prevailing theory is that Tea Partiers rallying around a mission they've dubbed Operation Bristol...
Oh, wow.
...are gaming the voting system and favoring Palin, not for her ballroom skills, but because they're political supporters of her mother, Sarah Palin. It's a theory that's been cited not just by industry observers, but also by the show's executive producer. During his post-show interview with Brandy, Jimmy Kimmel... So Brandy was kicked off the show, and I guess it was shocking. They got a perfect score and was still kicked off by voting.
So the judge, why are they scoring, then?
The judges score. You know, you got to hear the judge's opinion because they're feisty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what passion did the dance bring out of you? But it doesn't really matter at the end. I guess you're voted on by the public. So Kimmel said, "Do you believe that there's an organized Tea Party voting bloc?" And they said, like, something's going on. There's a woman's site, Jezebel. They claim to have evidence that conservatives are exploiting a loophole in ABC's email voting system to cast extra votes for Palin. It's certainly true that dancing is more popular among Republican viewers than among Democratic viewers.
This is so stupid.
It's also true that there is lots of anecdotal support among conservatives for Bristol Palin and her partner. The Jezebel article finds plenty of posts in the conservative blogosphere urging readers to vote for Bristol. But here's how it's done. To vote online, ABC asks you to provide an email address, but it's possible to give a made-up address since there's no validation process. That security gap would allow voters so inclined to vote an unlimited number of times. So if she could do it...
Oh, if you don't have validation, that's just silly. They don't even have to get an account then.
Right.
You just put in 1@gmail.com, 2@gmail.com.
Hoydekiss is asking, what are they voting for? You're
Hoydekiss
voting...
doesn't know anything, does he?
What was his last question?
He's having a time. What are waiter dreams?
Oh, okay. That was him?
Yeah.
All right.
What are they voting for? The president, Hoydekiss. You can email it now.
Why are people watching dancing? That's not my thing. A 66-year-old man from the town of Vermont is in custody after a tense 15-hour standoff between himself and county deputies that allegedly began after he became enraged by Sarah Palin's performance on Dancing with the Stars. He was upset she was still on there. He knows she shouldn't be there. And so he fired a shotgun into his TV. He's so angry. This is some bullshit.
I wish he was on the other side.
What? You got to load up a shotgun. You know what I mean? It's not a spur of the moment to say. He's like, I'm getting my gun. Loaded it up. Fuck you. His wife's like, what are you doing? Shooting the darn TV. Bullshit. Bristol Palin bullshit. You see her in that that don't have sex ad? She has a baby. This is some bullshit. Tell me not to have sex. She has a baby.
They should charge him with attempted murder because he thinks he was shooting at her.
Right, right.
They should go by your own brain.
Sheriff's officials said a female resident of the home in, if you want to go there, the 4600 block of Highway JJ, called deputies at about 8 p.m. They say her husband was intoxicated and was threatening suicide. In all fairness, you know, you got to keep in mind, like, is he threatening suicide? Or is he going, Bristol Palin? I could kill myself.
Isn't the Palin family very into guns rights?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
That's his right. She told authorities her husband had fired a shotgun at a television inside the house. Isn't that something you got to say that about your husband?
By the way, neither here nor there, we're also getting a divorce. No relation.
Right. After receiving the report, the sheriff's office technical response team and hostage negotiation team responded to the house and established a perimeter. Authorities said the negotiators were able to communicate with the man who reportedly suffers from psychiatric issues, but he refused to come out of the house.
What a waste of government money.
Dane County Sheriff's Office spokeswoman said that the man surrendered to authorities just after 11 a.m. on Tuesday. So this started at from 8 p.m.
Wow.
To 11 a.m. This fucking Bristol Palin can get under your skin.
Holy shit.
He had been tentatively charged with domestic disorderly conduct and second-degree reckless endangerment. And, of course, use of a deadly weapon. He's being held in the county jail. According to the criminal complaint, he had been drinking, then got upset while watching Sarah Palin's daughter on TV, saying he did not think she was a good dancer.
Okay.
The complaint said that after shooting the TV, he reloaded his single-shot shotgun and demanded his wife bring him his pistols. I need my darn pistols! The shotgun's ridiculous and it's bulky and I got shit to shoot. A fucking new IKEA lamp. It's a lamp, not a slug. What the fuck is a slug? Get my pistols.
What's it say in the next thing? The wife was apprehensive but thought it'd be best to actually pass him the pistol.
His wife told authorities that about a month ago their daughter took possession of at least 2 handguns for safety reasons. At least 2. I don't even know how many darn guns we have. His wife said he pointed the loaded shotgun at her, and she was scared by his reckless behavior and out-of-control actions. She said she left the house alone, assuming that he would think she was going to get his handguns, but she stopped at the attorney's office.
Oh my God, this is your life.
The wife told authorities that before she left the house, he said that if she brings anyone back to the house with her, he would kill himself. His wife and other family members told authorities that there are approximately 5 or 6 long guns in the house. At the time, according to the complaint, The wife told authorities that 15 years ago, Cohen had threatened her with a machete when he couldn't find some ammunition, but he had not previously threatened her with a gun. Never a gun before. Why were you with him? Never a gun. It was a machete because he couldn't find his darn guns. His wife said that he had previously become angry enough that he threatened to shoot one of their cows or to shoot up in the air, and that in the past he had fired a gun over a pond to the back of their house. So he was just out and about one day and he shot his own house because he was darn angry. You ever get so darn angry you can't think? You see red, you get your shotgun, shoot the TV, a lamp, switch guns to the pistols.
Aim it at your wife.
More proof of increasing tension at airport security checkpoints. An airline passenger has been arrested for punching a TSA officer, Transportation Security Administration officer, in the chest after passing through a full body scanner at Indianapolis International Airport. A lot of people not liking these full body scanners.
Yeah, there are these things that you walk by and people can actually see you naked.
Do you really? You're seeing nipple, you're seeing bush.
That's what I'm understanding, but you can also decline it. But if you decline it, they have to severely pat you down. I don't know what else to call it. They have to, like, it's not a cavity search.
Right.
But you're like, what, my fingers just did? It's not a cavity search.
Right.
I went with my two fingers all the way up. But they do touch whatever it is and outside your clothing.
I can't believe they're called officers. Do we admit the TSA? Is it New York? No, I've seen in other airports now that I think about it.
New York might be the worst, though.
Trash. Very ghetto. I don't want them paying attention. I don't want these people, you know.
While they're passing your stuff, you know, the person who's supposed to be watching your scanned items, you know, when you put it on the conveyor belt, is talking about last night's date.
Right.
How she's going to get her hair did.
As they're pulling the gum out of their mouth like kids do, you know.
Really, this is no exaggeration. You just kind of go, what? You know, like, you just kind of hope, okay, this is foolproof and, you know, you don't have to watch this carefully or, you know, I'd be able to have a conversation, but you just don't feel that great. And these are not the people that I think should see me naked.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and even pulling you over though, like, you know, I'm going to frisk you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all the hot ones are carrying bombs. John Christina, 51, of Connecticut, says the incident about punching a TSA agent was a joke. I like it.
Don't touch another person.
I don't. Fuck them, by the way. But no, of course, don't touch another person. But I'm telling you what. I'm on this guy's side. Whatever happened.
I imagine that maybe, you know, after somebody touches you so intensely that you're not really into, you just kind of get nervous and you're like, wasn't that fun? I'm going to hit you a little
right.
bit. I'm not giving him an excuse or a reason. Don't touch another human being. The end.
Transportation security officers are on the line. Now, listen to this. This is ridiculous. This is what TSA press secretary is saying. Transportation security officers are on the line defending the nation against terrorism every day.
Well.
What? Really?
Well.
I hope to Christ not.
No.
I hope the president has a backup. I really hope there's a backup.
Daniel from San Diego says they must squeeze the section of your body until they, quote, feel resistance. Those are the official terms. Come on.
As they're testing you, you mean?
I don't know. I'm imagining, you know, somebody squeezing your balls until they go, yep, okay, that's the inside.
My God.
Well, people are putting stuff, you know, in weird places in their body, but that's it's weird as a job, though.
Yeah.
You know?
What are you? Mm-hmm. I'm an officer. Okay, how so? Next thing you know, I'm a toucher. We are working with law enforcement to make sure this type of thing doesn't happen. What's law enforcement going to say? Well, I hope it doesn't happen. This person, a computer consultant, admitted to punching the officer. He was arrested, spent the night in jail, was released on $150 bond. He has a superior court date, December 13th. December 13th? Oh, we're in November. Christina, a computer, if I had hit him with any malice or intent, that would have been one thing. That was not my intention. Maybe it was a real punch because fuck him. And I was like, it was a joke. It was a friendly rib.
I don't think intent always matters. Well, yeah, it does. Because remember yesterday we read something where a bridesmaid pushed the bride into some shallow water, and she became
paraplegic.
Yeah, I don't think that she was intending on doing that.
A law enforcement source says the punch came after Christina, that's his last name, John Christina, asked TSA agent Gregory Huttman, 28, a question that he couldn't answer. When the officer didn't know the answer to a question, the guy punched him. The question has...
Where did he punch him?
In the chest. So they're saying it was a punch. He's saying it was just like a, come on.
Right.
The question was reportedly about increased security procedures. He allegedly jabbed him with a closed fist. A police report quotes the TSA agent as saying, why did you have to hit me? So I picture that. Like,
right.
Why has it got to be like that? Why do you have to hit me? So it doesn't sound like a real punch, right? Why you really punched a guy in the chest, a TSA agent, and they went, then why do you have to hit me?
Right. I think they would more put you into custody because it's like, oh, wow, you're being threatening.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they'd fight back. Come on. I was only kidding with you, the guy said. Other passengers and TSA agents witnessed the incident. Whatever it was. You can't say what it was. But I listen to this. There's a, I understand why they're checking things. A plane from Africa going to Germany. They found a bomb. They don't know if it's live, but it had a detonator and a clock on it. A ticking clock. Ticking down. 2010, you're using ticking clocks like a cartoon. They got it from Acme. An x-ray of the luggage revealed batteries that were attached with wires to a detonator and a ticking clock. Only the ongoing forensic investigation will show whether this was a live explosive. Hey, I hope they find the guy. And then the guy, you know, and I wonder if the guy goes, it was a joke. A ticking clock, come on.
They found a couple of those recently, right? And some of them were being mailed to synagogues or something. They weren't sure if it was just a... Because it turns out those bombs were not going to really, like, nothing was really going to happen to them, and they weren't sure if that's because they didn't do it right or because they were just going, hey, by the way, start feeling threatened, you know?
You have to, you do have to have bigger security, I guess. You know, people are ruining it for us, but you could understand the public's frustration of seeing who is behind these machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about you... I mean, I guess it's not legal, right? But you fire everybody and you do a new overhaul and you get new people in there. And then we can talk about scanners. But the people I see, how dare I have to take off my shoes with the people I see working there?
Moshe's writing in. He's in Arafuckinzona.
Okay.
But he's from Israel. I believe that's the guy we met in Israel last year. Definitely met him 2 years ago. Okay. Anyway, Israelification is the new buzzword. Israel may have many faults, but there have been no problems on Israeli airplanes in many years. Now, Israel doesn't have as much of the same security as the U.S., where they're not as much taking off the shoes and things like that. But you will have a guy like you experienced, but, you know, less than what you experienced. You will have a guy, and I'm not looking forward to this again. They'll question you with kind of silly questions,
right?
Seemingly unimportant questions, but they're basically gauging how nervous you are, gauging your responses. And so they're actually taking people who have been trained to see if you should be suspected. So I remember me and my brother were going through, and I've talked about this before, and they were going, where are you going? And we said, to our parents' house. And they said, where do they live? And I forget sometimes, you know, because they had just moved at the time. So once I remembered it, you know, and I get nervous because it's like, fuck, I'm forgetting. And I know you're checking my nerves right now,
right.
You know, but apparently, you know, they can tell between like my idiot, you know, scatterbrain and like a true person who's actually and some, you know, some smugglers have been caught. I'm not talking necessarily in Israel or on Israeli planes. Smugglers in general have been caught by just seeming odd, by just responding weird and behaving oddly. So I think that's a better, more efficient way of doing things.
Well, you go into an Israeli airport, you're being looked from the get-go. You're not even going to the gate. It's as soon as you
you're a suspect you right away.
But,
yeah, and I'm not saying take away, you know, the X-rays and things like that.
Right.
I'm saying, you know, that guy probably is trained a lot more than this bullshit. Is definitely trained a lot more than the bullshit we see in our airports. And I think that's a better way to go.
But you know how they catch these people? They have all the answers. They know where their parents live and when they move. Who the fuck knows this?
Right.
How old are your parents? 62 and 74. Right. You're under arrest. How would you know that? That's insane. Yeah, they tried to trip me up, you know. Have you ever been to Israel before? No. And a couple more questions, then they go back. And so are you liking your second trip to Israel?
Yeah.
I'm like, what if I didn't hear you right? Yeah, yeah. I'm loving it.
They did that to, they did that to us, too. Yeah. I was like, I think I just answered this question. But, you know, you just want to answer all the questions. But, yeah, they try to trip you up with dumb shit.
Right. Supposedly the guy, I mean, it seemed like it, he was getting upset with me that I knew how silly this was. And, like, you know, why are you here if you don't speak Hebrew? I'm like, my girlfriend's, I'm seeing the girlfriend's parents. How come you're by yourself? Why, and I go, well, you know, I was just visiting the parents for a little bit, and then I was going back, and, you know, it's her parents, and I felt weird. I don't want to be around the family so much, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're like, that seems strange. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
Wait until Ireland asks you about your relationship.
Right. But yeah, and then you know, and then all of a sudden the guy starts talking to me in Hebrew, like I'm gonna fuck up, and I go, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now.
You would fuck up though, you would, because remember
if I did speak Hebrew.
Yeah, because remember again we mentioned this before. Yeah. We decided one day, me and my brother, and you know you don't speak Hebrew, but my brother and I decided, as we're going down, we are not going to speak Hebrew because they seem to respond better when you don't speak.
They're nicer to Americans.
Yeah, like they're friendlier and they help more. So we're like, okay, no Hebrew today. My brother still responded to Hebrew because you can't really know unless you speak the language, but you respond automatically to a language. Like when I hear Hebrew on the street, I turn around, you know, because it's not, it doesn't sound like a foreign language to me. Right. I'm understanding it. It's like if somebody goes, hey, do you mind doing this in Hebrew? I turn around to see if they're talking to me. Because right. It's just a reflex.
But
if you had that, if you spoke Hebrew, they would have tripped you up.
But he's getting upset with me. Like, I'm laughing. I'm like,
that's his job.
Is he really upset, though? Like, he's like, what's funny? And I'm like, I know what you're doing. Like, am I supposed to?
I don't think you're supposed to laugh.
It's fucking ridiculous. I still don't speak Hebrew. I still don't.
Moshe's saying it may be weird, but doesn't it feel safer than these idiots?
Yeah.
Those guys who they might as well be working at your local drugstore, but they're working at the airplane.
Here in America.
Like, yeah, it's like a checkout counter. Like, take off your shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's right.
He is right. Lenny's writing in, Dear Keith and Chenda, my name is Lenny. I'm 34, gay, sober. I give a healthy, buoyant shit about the following query. Speaking of waiters, what is the protocol for tipping when the bar owner is filling in as bartender? If he's taking home the day's profits, does he also deserve the extra dollar per drink? I currently do tip regardless of who's behind the bar, but I wonder if I'm being a sucker. Thanks, and I love the show, Lenny. The answer is simple. Yes, you do tip. And think of it this way. Tipping is just part of the price you're paying. You know, let's say it's a bartender instead of the owner. What are you tipping? What did he do? He opened the lid to your Bud Light. That's worth a dollar? Well, that's the price of the beer. The beer's not $5, it's $6. And that's what you're paying no matter who's behind the bar.
I also feel like in addition to now doing his books and being in the office, he has to cover the waiter. So he's doing the job of the waiter.
Right.
He gets the money of the waiter. You know, like
right.
Like if you owned your own market, but you're the checkout person, you know, you're kind of like helping yourself out, or maybe you're short-staffed or whatever. So there's a reason why the guys behind the bar just treat him like a bartender.
Yeah, absolutely right. Very good point. Hey, by the way, getting back to this, MJG is saying, how do people profile in Israel? How do they know who to question?
You know, you'd be surprised. Like, I don't have the radar, but people have the radar. I know that, you know, the whole Middle East just looks the same, but it's not the same. I'm not saying some of us don't look like the others. Yes.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I could easily pass for, you know, Arab, for Muslim, for whatever, you know, but they know.
All right.
They're just like, I sometimes just am in New York, not even in some kosher, you know, restaurant, or not even in anywhere where they should know. People just speak to me in Hebrew. I just look that way.
Okay.
They're not speaking, and no one ever spoke to me in Arabic. Oh, no, except for that weird guy while I was running. But I guess it wouldn't be surprising either way. You're right. I don't know. We all look the same, but these people are trained.
A weird guy when you're running?
And if you just heard me talking, you know that this guy's questioning me also, and I'm one of them, you know, to right. them. So he's questioning me just like I'm a terrorist, just like anyone else. So they're not necessarily profiling. They're scanning you in your brain. You know?
What were you saying, guy? You were running?
Remember, I was running on the track, and, you know, some guy was like, and I, so I took out one earbud as I was running, and he's like, do you speak Arabic? And I go, no. And he was just like, right. standing there on the side of the track, but in the track, and I wanted to tell security on the way out, but I didn't, and then right. I regretted it.
It's so weird. Like, what? You're
and then what? Yeah, I speak Arabic. Right. Now what?
Okay, now we go.
Yeah,
now it's go time.
I was so ready to punch him too. You know, and not because I just want to punch people. Right. Sometimes I do, but
you just want to tell a joke.
I just want to be ready. Like, I'm always ready to punch people while I'm running. Because I feel like, you know, when a car pulls over right next to me, suddenly when I'm running down the street, I'm like, oh my God, today's the day. They're going to try to take me and push me in the car. And I'm like, okay, ready to punch? Yes, ready to punch. Here we go.
So you're running with fists.
Totally.
Right?
Well, yeah, I generally run with fists anyway, because that's kind of how you run, you know?
I guess.
Yeah, but I'm ready to run. And then I'm going, okay, maybe they think I'm running, so like I'm fit, so maybe I'm not going to be the one targeted, you know? And then I think, oh my God, maybe they'll think I'm out of breath because I'm running, and maybe I will be out of breath and I won't be in my, like, oh my God, I'm so ready to punch. Punch them if they even get near you. Doesn't matter. Have the balls.
This is why I don't run. This is a lot. For what? And then the joy is what? One day you run a marathon? What a treat.
Something tells me people will bother you less than me.
This show, of course, it's brought to you by the Permanent Record Podcast. The Permanent Record is a weekly podcast from two 30-something Minnesotans. Small-town news, celebrity gossip, TV, movies, and their daily lives are all discussed. Wicked, yet
sweet.
Go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com for shows and more information. Also, I want to, at the end here, I'm going to play a promo that Kyle did about our Pittsburgh show. We did a Pittsburgh live show. And it was a lot of fun, and he'll tell you about it. You go to, he'll tell you everything.
Yeah, let Kyle speak for us.
There you go. Also, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Patrice. You remember Patrice, of course. Over 200 shows she's been on, and we'll find out what she's been up to. Thank you guys very much, and we'll see you Friday.
What's up, guys? This is Kyle. Kyle T. Kyle Thompson. How you doing? We went to Pittsburgh. Keith and the girl did. It was a good time. We had a nice, fun time. I was there. Newsy was there. Jonathan O'Donnell was there. Diane O'Debra was there. Ray DeVito was there. We had some laughs. We had some drinks. We got fucked up. We had a good time. We partied hard. And were you there? I don't know. But you could relive it with us if you go to keithandthegirl.com/live. Fuck it and suck it. Rock it and cock it. Shit yeah, clit yeah, all that shit. Get it right. Get it tight. Take it home. All that stuff. Go to keithandthegirl.com/live, and we're going to get you the Pittsburgh live show. Keith and the Girl live in Pittsburgh, taking it home. Oh, yeah. keithandthegirl.com